Yes, indeedy. Woo! That'll get you hopping. Welcome to the weekend on the Andy Meander Show, folks. We're here. We're back. It's Friday. Yes.
Yes. I'm getting jiggy by that tune, Andy. That was real funky.
Wasn't that good? Yeah, you and me, but what do we open the show, you know?
I know.
It is the Friday show, and we have a weekend ahead of us, and a lot's going on this past week, given the, there's even been a lot going on in London, in the BBC there in London, there's even been things happening.
Yeah, what? What's that?
I don't know if you saw the picture, the summit where, you know, Biden and all the NATO leaders are meeting over in Europe.
Oh,
And they're all, you know, at the end, they're out there doing photo ops and so forth and hanging around little kind of, I don't know, little groups of people, you know, little two or three people, leaders at a time having conversations, you know, like Biden and Trudeau and the Canadian Prime Minister and somebody else. And then there's Boris Badenov there with his hair floating in the breeze. Floating around by himself, checking his, you know, pockets with his hands, you know, just kind of checking his pockets out there. And all by himself, you know, everybody's in the group talking, whatever, and there's Boris Badenov, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Poor guy.
I saw that picture. I thought of you right away. I figured, you know, Manny would get a kick out of this, man. No respect, you know, none.
Yeah.
None.
I saw the ones on Twitter from Biden and Boris, with, you know, where they're all stood there looking all smart, all in a line, looking fancy.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking, oh, you guys look great and fancy. But, what's this going to achieve at the end of the day? You're all meeting to talk about, you know, this crisis and all the money that's being pumped in. And I guess I felt, as soon as I read some of the headlines in those tweets about the amount of money that the UK is putting forward to help Ukraine, like millions of pounds are being put forward. And yet, you know, our residents, and I know this will be for a fact, I mean, there are people who are a little selfish because of the crisis we're going through. So there will be those in the UK that will be like, really? We're pumping all these millions into another country right now when we've got a crisis of our own. But that is selfish. It is selfish. There are people that need the funds that are going to this Ukraine thing, you know. But that's what jumped out at me. And I saw these tweets, I thought, oh my God, there's going to be people in the UK just complaining about the amount that's being spent for this whole war, and, you know, we're struggling ourselves. But like you said, Andy, about this, you know, there's enough oil there, and, you know, it's lying in the pockets of shareholders and things like that. So, you know, I think it's the same with this whole energy crisis and the war in a way, you know, it's just driving up the cost of things just so that we can pay back somehow, and it's probably all to do with this COVID thing on the grand scheme of things. Look how much, you know, the countries have lost paying out for all this COVID stuff. You know,
it is. I've seen some folks commenting on TikTok and other social media where they're, because we have to monitor that stuff because we talk about it on the show. So unfortunately, I've got to look at what they're saying. And one of the things what they're saying is, oh, the Biden's a mess, one-term president. Oh my God, the oil prices and the price of the gas pump and blah blah blah. And it wouldn't matter if Biden or any other Democrat president was in there, they'd be saying the same thing because they just despise. Yeah. They think that, you know, one person said, you know, the Democrats are bottom dwellers. You know, but the fact is, and I did this research several times, I did it again today, that the last seven Democratic presidents versus the last Republican presidents, the economy has done significantly better, job creation is significantly better. And I remember playing a clip of a commentator where he compared, you know, since Jimmy Carter a while back. I should find that clip again. You know, every administration, you know, it's been consistently better, the economy and job creation, when the Democratic administration, you know, when the Democrats are in the White House, than the Republicans. And that is an absolute statistical fact. There's no arguing. And they'll come back and say, but, you know, because they watch and listen and adhere to the word of extreme right-wing commentators and folks on Fox News and so forth and the conservative publications and blah, 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 and listen to what they say, as opposed to looking at the numbers and doing the research themselves. I mean, going back and looking at the Department of Treasury and look at historical records, historical statistics, that show job creation, that show the interest rates, that show the economic growth and the gross national product of the United States over
yeah.
the past seven administrations, both Republican and Democrat, and you find the numbers are way in by a significant margin, not a little bit,
yeah.
a significant margin
yeah.
In terms of the Democratic administrations. And that's those are just numbers. I'm not saying you're saying, oh, you know, Biden's this great president and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying what the numbers are. You know, the numbers are.
Yeah.
The S&P 500 is historically high right now. The Dow took a dump a little bit, Did I say that right? The Dow.
Cue toilet flush.
Cue. You're a little ahead of me there, Amanda. It was Friday. It's a toilet. That would be tea, right? That would be tea. Toilet flush. Wait. Yep. Here we go. That looks good. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, I forget what the context was there regarding that.
With undermining our elections, passing hundreds of voter suppression laws, questioning the vaccine, and blocking every piece of Democratic legislation that comes across their path, the GOP have added yet another way to try and destroy the Biden presidency and sow chaos. Mitch McConnell has now gone on record saying the Republicans will not support legislation to fund the government if it raises the debt limit. He claims it's because of the Democrats' irresponsible spending on their upcoming $3.5 trillion social spending package. Keep in mind the national...
Well, that goes on and on, but remember that conversation and so forth. You know, it's...
Yeah.
What a ride spin, but it's okay. We'll let them go. And again, I want to be clear about this. It's not the fact that I'm this, like, incredible Joe Biden fan. I didn't live too far away from the guy back on the East Coast. I've known of him and about him locally as well as nationally for many, many, many years. And I've liked the guy for years. His soul, his heart, his integrity, his constitution, if you will. I've always admired him. You know, he's you know, and Sleepy Joe, that's from Trump, all this bullshit. Is he the go down in history as the greatest president ever? Probably not. I mean, I don't know who's the greatest president. I don't know. You know, it's personal, subjective opinion, I guess. But it's just looking at the 74% of Americans who are vaccinated now, and we're taking off our masks, and we're able to almost go back to the way things were before COVID for the most part. And and he, you know, without using black legs, without using bleach, without using these bullshit remedies that Trump boasted during his administration, the Trump vaccine, we talked on the show how that vaccine research started in 2002 or earlier, wasn't the Trump vaccine. There's no way they can get a vaccine out in a couple of years. That would be impossible to do. But, you know, so we've talked, we you know, gosh, broken record. You know, but it's just the way things are. This war in Ukraine is an incredible travesty. We all know that. And it's not the Russians' war. It's Putin's war. And he's, one way or another, the guy's got to go. No matter how it happens, and however it happens. I mean, it's not, you know, I wish every human being well, believe me. But somebody's got to remove him from office some way.
Yes.
This is not the will of the Russian people. This is not even the will of the Russian military. Do you know a colonel in the Russian military was run over purposely, killed by his own troops?
Why?
Yes, Colonel Mechladik Avdokhtik Medivichek of the 37th Motor Rifle Brigade was killed after being run over by his own soldiers as a consequence of the scale of loss that had been taken by his own brigade. They killed the guy. His own people killed him. His own soldiers. They said, these are 19, 20, 22-year-olds that were told, you know, that they're going to be welcome to Ukraine. We're getting rid of neo-Nazis again, like World War II. The Nazis were going to go in there and get this Nazi population out of Ukraine. You know, this Crimea and other areas of Ukraine, which favored Russian politics versus the Ukraine politics, were going to go in there and give them more protection, even though there was 14,000 Russian troops in these areas already. And they were told they'd be welcome there. They'll be a cakewalk. It'll be done in a week. We'll go in, might hit a little bit of confrontation here and there, but we're going to go in there. We're going to go to Kyiv, and we're going to put a government in Ukraine that is more favorable to the Russian government. And these guys are dropping like flies. 15,000 dead already. Their bodies are all over Ukraine. the temperature's starting to warm up. These bodies are starting to smell, as we talked about in the show.
Oh, my goodness.
And now what we're seeing is the Russian agenda, kind of shifting, winding back a little bit, because they're saying their main goal is dumbass. I'm sorry, not dumbass. their main goal. Oh, I was on a roll, wasn't I? I was doing pretty good, wasn't I?
I enjoyed that.
I'm just off the top of my head here. It ain't dumbass. What's the fucking deal? What the hell?
I don't know. Is that what you're aiming for?
I'll think of it. Dingbat. No.
Dumb and Dumber.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
No, not Dracula. Thank you, though. Doorbell?
Doorbell? Okay. I've lost all sense of the conversation. What was you said before?
The emphasis. I was saying what? The emphasis.
Oh.
What was I saying? Man.
What's up, Doc?
We're getting there. The emphasis in the Russian military's actives in Russia.
Yeah.
Not in Russia.
In Ukraine.
This is the Andy and Amanda show. We're getting, all the news is not fit. We're getting there. Anyway, what I was saying was... I was saying what was I saying? I was on a roll.
Objective in Ukraine.
Thank you.
Yes, by the Russians.
Yes, thank you. In Ukraine is not dumbass. What the hell is the name of that town? Donbass.
Okay.
It's Donbass. It's a strategic city. They want Donbass.
It sounds like an undereducated fish.
It probably is. So the suggestion there is that they're scaling back their ambition as to what they wanted to have happen there. And today, they're way ahead of us in time. Well, I think they're 8-9 hours ahead of us or something like that, 10, yeah. Something like that. The Kremlin signaled today, in their time, earlier today, it was scaling back their focus in Ukraine to specific territories claimed by Russian-backed separatists from way back when, in the east part of the country.
Their class is, I think the term they used was breakaway republics, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Breakaway. Yes. I think they do call it breakaway republics. Geography is within Ukraine favored Russian political ideologies versus the free democracy.
Yeah.
Guess what else?
What?
Zelensky, the president of Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's being logisticized. What are they selling? Logistics. Logistics are now working out or being discussed.
The best is yet to come.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, there's talks with Oscar.
Okay.
About, I mean, not with Oscar, regarding the Oscars, the Oscars.
Oh, okay. Oh. Are we still talking about the president of Ukraine?
I'm not going to do too good in my news anchor audition for CNN, am I? I better get a handle on this. You know, it's taking me a long time.
You know, this takes years and years and years.
Well, I'm you know, I'm working
it
at
takes
it.
Me long enough, believe me.
But, you know, yeah.
I was born to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. But anyway, I'm not going to say what he's going to do. Now you probably forgot who I was talking about at this point. Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is in talks right now with the people who run the Academy Awards, or the Oscars, to make an appearance, to get an award.
What?
I don't know what. Mm-hmm. I don't know what movie he was in. No, to somehow address, to give it. I don't know what. You know, I feel I don't like it during award programs when the winners get up and start politicizing or make a political event out of an award show.
Why? Yeah.
Even though most of Hollywood happens to lean, for the most part, the way I lean politically. You know, and there's no secret about how I lean politically. But how the show leans politically, I think all of us, but we just believe in fairness and justice and equality and education and women's rights and women's right to choose and education and lending a hand to people who need it. And that's pretty much, if you want to call that being a liberal, then call it being a liberal. But that's pretty much all, you know, call it whatever you want, but that's kind of where we are. You know,
lend a hand,
you know, given equal opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, the BBC is saying that Russia's army says the first phase of its military campaign in Ukraine is over. That it will now focus its efforts on eastern Donbass, like you said, because of the republics. Western officials believe the announcement implies that Moscow knows its pre-war strategy has failed. Meanwhile, U.S. President Joe Biden is in Poland as he wraps up his European trip. Ukraine is reoccupying some towns and defensive positions east of Kyiv, the U.K. says. An official in Mariupol has told the BBC an estimated 300 people died in last week's attack on a theater. The southeastern port city has been destroyed and will take years to rebuild, its mayor says. Earlier, the US and EU announced a major gas deal in an attempt to reduce Europe's reliance on Russian energy. Ooh.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Mm.
Republicans love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Putin is also saying that Putin signs law targeting fake news. Oh, he's formally approved a law which says people found guilty of spreading fake news about the work of officials abroad can be handed a 15-year jail sentence.
No coordination, no nothing.
Yeah.
If Russian citizens are scrambling, many, not all, many, most, to remove anything they have in any of the social media that has the Z, I think their anti-war emblem is this kind of Z thing, or any mention of being anti-war, because they, the powers that be, Putin, thinks that if you speak something against the war in Ukraine, Putin's war in Ukraine, then that means that you are disseminating false information and you can be arrested and go to jail for as many as 15 years.
Yeah.
In other words, if you say anything about the war contrary to what Putin wants you to say, you can go to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's like, you know, I'm like... I know.
That was me earlier. and the Russian defense minister has suffered a heart attack. And it happened, let's see, it says... Okay, let's try and pronounce his name. This should be fun. Sergei Shoigu.
I love these names. Sloopy Goop.
Oh, me too. Yes,
Sergei Sloopy Goop.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Had not been public since 11th of March until he appeared briefly in a video released by Putin on Thursday, 24th of March. His heart attack happened after a tough accusation by Putin for a complete failure of the invasion of Ukraine. Currently, he's undergoing rehabilitation in hospital, and there has been no confirmation from Russia of any alleged health problems.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
We're going to bring on a friend of ours who hasn't been on here in quite some time, and it's great to welcome Lisa back from the great state of South Carolina.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. North Virginia.
North Carolina, there you go.
North, there's no North and South Virginia, right? It's East and West, right? Right?
Don't confuse me with South Carolina, please.
We'd be in trouble there. Hey, Lisa, welcome aboard again, man. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Andy. Hey, Amanda. How you doing?
Doing swell. We're handling the news the best we can. It's a little
I figure with the time difference, I can't keep up with you guys. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. Let me see if you guys are on. I can't keep up because, you know, we're on the phone here. So.
That's okay. You know, we can't keep up with the time difference either, can we, Andy?
We're great. Hey, Lisa, we're getting some feedback. I don't know if you have a speaker on there or something. We can hear an echo coming through your line there.
Yeah, I have you on speaker.
Yeah, can you turn that down or something just so we don't get the echo?
Is that
Thank
better?
You. That's better.
Yeah, oh, yeah, much better. Thank you for that.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's how you think there in North Carolina?
Things are good. Still cold here. It hasn't gotten warm yet. You know how North Carolina in March, it's kind of like up and down.
Oh,
so,
what's the temperature there then?
Today was only 65, so...
Oh, that's a nice temperature. But, that's not bad. You know, Lisa, that Monterey is in Amanda right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
Monterey
is in me. Yeah.
Well, maybe Monterey's in her too, eh?
Actually, sounds quite bad. Monterey is in Amanda right now.
I mean,
now that's funny. Oh.
Yeah, she knows I'm here.
I'm sure the weather there is beautiful in Monterey. I'm sure.
Oh, it's been absolutely gorgeous weather here in Monterey.
Much better than England, that's for sure.
Oh my goodness! I tell you, yeah. Everybody was saying, "Oh, it's going to be really hot there. It's going to take time for you to adjust and all that." It's bull crap. Seriously, I got here, and yes, it was just as cold here as it was when I was in the UK. But when it started to warm up, and then there's been lots of days now of warmth, and I'm just like, "Oh, I get to walk around with shorts on," and I'm just like, "This is glorious."
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
I'm sorry. Why?
Why would somebody, you know?
I know. It's crazy. But yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I'm not, no complaints at all. I'm really enjoying it. You know, how can you argue? You know, I've got the best company in the world. I've got great food and sunshine. It's just incredible.
And no rain like in England.
No rain. Yes. But you know what? I think I've probably experienced rain one day since I've been here, and it wasn't much at all. So, yeah.
It's beautiful there, from what I've heard. I've never been to Monterey.
I've never been to Mexico in general, but I know it's warmer down there than it is. Well,
yeah, for sure.
East Coast anyway over
here. And it's great having Amanda on this side of the world as well.
I know,
yes, definitely.
I think we've ended up
in England.
I feel more connected to her in many ways.
I was gonna.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that pogo stick again. I was actually, Andy, you read my mind. See that connection to the services? I was gonna say it actually.
I didn't read your mind, and we'll do that again. Wait, I like that then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
Great minds do think alike. You know what I'm saying?
This chair's called Great Springs. Oh, man. Delisa, tell us. I'm sure everybody who's listening wants to know, what's your opinion on this whole madness with Russia invading Ukraine?
Oh, craziness. Part of me says we just go in there and squash him right now before he even gets near Poland. But, you know, we have to wait for him to get into Poland because of the NATO treaty.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to kind of wait till he destroys Ukraine and Belarus and whatever else before he gets to Poland. You know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
It's unfortunate, but we can't go in now, you know, because of the treaty.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. And what's this I hear? You guys heard about China responding to all of this? Cause,
yes.
Yeah. I didn't manage to capture much about it today, but I just caught it on the wind that they were preparing. Was it to do with the nuclear aspect?
Yeah, they're China's what are they called? Sinopec group, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Suspended talks that they were a major, like a petrochemical investment and gas marketing investment and venture in Russia. China has suspended the conversation because of Russia's infringement on Ukraine.
Right.
So, you know, people are saying, "Oh, China's supporting Russia, you know, Third World War, China and Russia versus the rest of the world, blah blah blah." I don't think there's anybody on this planet, in this universe. I don't even think the astronauts in space. No. The man on the moon. There's nobody who's in favor of Russia invading a sovereign country. It just, you know, I'm not saying anybody. There might be some out there. I'm sure there are. But you know what I'm saying? Broad-based, there is zero support for this. And Putin's going to be hit where it hurts, in the wallet, in the bank account. And his aardvark friends, you know, all those aardvarks with the yachts.
Yes.
What do you call them?
Sailors.
You know, what do you call those guys with the Russian yachts there? Not aardvarks.
I don't know. I don't know what they call them.
It's so
got
funny.
Got me on that one.
We always come up with aardvark because we can never.
You know
remember.
What I mean, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying. Oliver, not Oliver's movie.
I want to pick up the door too.
You know, oligarchs. Oligarchs. Not guards.
Oh, my goodness.
Oligarch.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't guess that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dingbat.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm just reading a little bit about it.
That's interesting when you said, Andy, about China. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that one because I don't watch the news much. But that's going to be, like you said, if they get them economically, then that's going to be a big, big thing. You know?
Assets. As a matter of fact, there's a video of one of the aardvark's yachts being taken. I think in Poland or where? Not Poland. Anyways, a YouTube video of a great big 100-some-odd-foot powder blue, lovely looking yacht owned by one of the Russian rich people that's being seized by NATO. You know, assets being taken, and these folks are billionaires. Some, I mean, these are huge. These are like miniature cruise ships. Some of them. I mean, 400 some feet.
Mm.
You're talking boats that are, you know, like the Queen Mary. Or not, you know what I'm saying? Like huge, beautiful, big private yachts with major airports on the back, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I think Spirit Airlines lands and takes off from these boats there. Yeah.
That's a good one, Andy.
Starship Enterprise.
They have car rental counters. You know what I'm saying? They have the car rental counters. You land, you go on the old aardvark boat, and you go get a car, rent a car, and you drive around the boat. It's unbelievable. But they're huge, and they're tens of millions of dollars. And not that they're the average utilization of these yachts is between 20 days and 6 calendar weeks per calendar year. And the cost of 60 million, 100 million, 80 million, some as low as 11 million. But and the cost to maintain these boats is approximately 10% of the acquisition price every year. So a $100 million boat, which is not unusual, some more, would cost $10 million to keep at the dock and you haven't made a sandwich yet.
Wow.
So
wow.
And to them, it's
that's amazing.
And they also have private jets and condominiums and the villas all over the world. And all of these assets that I'm talking about, the planes, the yachts, the boats, the bank accounts of these very rich Russian oligarchs that Putin has surrounded himself with, his cronies, they're all being hit very, very hard right now because their bank accounts outside of Russia are being frozen. They have no access. They can't use their ATM cards even, right? They can't get money out. They can't go to McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? So, and the Russian ruble has declined 40%, and they closed the Russian stock market because it's crashed. You know, the Russian stock market operates similar to our Dow Jones in a similar fashion. It's a little different, but basically the Russian stock market is closed because it is, you know, even folks that aren't billionaires, folks who are of high net worth but maybe not in that oligarch category who have money there and who have portfolio investments like anybody in the Western world will have a portfolio investment. It was crashing. So they said, whoa, close the market. You know, we can't, can't go down and close it. Closed. And the ruble's crashing. So the Russian people there's no more trading with Russia. So they can't get goods from any NATO and from any West country in the Western world. So what's happening now is you're starting to see the average Russian citizen. And the average Russian citizen lives in poverty anyway, right, to begin with. Yeah. Now they're really starting to hurt because they can't get goods to even the average Russian citizen in Russia because they can't – nobody's sending them anything. We cut off our ties. We're sanctioning everything. And the sanctions are going to get deeper and deeper and deeper until we're just cutting off at the you-know-where. And that's – you know, eventually somebody, I think, with the – minor level of intelligence is going to have to do something about Putin in one way or another because this is his doing. This is not the doing of the Russian people. So we'll have to see what happens.
Now, because the Russian people are against it. I mean, they had some of them on the news. And like you said, especially in the middle of the lower class people, like you said, not many people are living, you know, above their means there for sure. And now they're even in worse shape. Because they're being cut off from everything, like you said, from the outside world.
Yeah. It's just disgusting. It really is disgusting. And talking of bad, I mean, Sri Lanka is also going through a major crisis right now, bless them, because they're like a small island. And even though they're small, they got like 22 million people, and they've had this massive economic crisis. Where they just can't get essential imports into the country of food, fuel, and medicine and stuff like that. And they've been experiencing severe, like, electricity blackouts. Mm. They've even had people on boats leaving out of fear, heading for India to try and get some sort of help and rescued from the situation. And, like, school exams have been cancelled and because they got a shortage of paper and printer ink, and the cup of tea, they said, is costing like 100 rupees, which is, I guess, is very expensive. I don't know. And even senior citizens, they're dying while they're waiting at things like fuel stations. And apparently it's deteriorating and it's getting worse every single day. And I feel for them because, like I said, a lot of them are literally fleeing the island to try and get some sort of help. So they're all in crisis, they're all protesting, they're out on the streets trying to get all the help they need, bless them. So this world right now is an absolute chaos. We're all feeling crippled in some form.
Japanese are involved here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I saw a stat today on the news about the Ukrainian people, the different countries that are taking refugees, and Poland has over 3 million people from the Ukraine coming in. Now, that's an awful lot of people to be going into a small country like Poland.
And you know something interesting? You already said there's over 2 million people from Urania have been invited, not Urania, from our Ukraine. Urania. Yeah. from Urania. Over 3 million Ukrainians, 3 million Ukrainians have actually been invited to live on a temporary basis and been invited to people's homes in Poland. They're taking them in. They're taking them into their private homes, which is just an amazing effort. And Biden has invited 100,000 refugees to the United States. And there are some people, you know, who are putting up, you know, they're saying, well, you know, why don't we find homes for 100,000 Americans who have no homes and can't get food? Why don't we find, you know, what's going on here? You know, that's what some Americans are coming back with. They're saying, well, where are these people going to live? You're inviting 100,000 people into the United States. We have many, many more than that who don't have shelter, who don't have access for food. Actually, it's there if they knew how to get it. That's a whole other story. But anyway, actually, there's shelter, too, if they knew how to get it. But we're talking about just homes, you know. But I understand that where that would come from. You're inviting 100,000 Ukrainians, refugees, as tragic as that situation is, into this country to you know, be part of this country for however long and get whatever benefits and get food and get shelter and get whatever else when we've got, you know, in the numbers and the millions of people here who don't have that.
Yeah.
So, and I get that. I understand it. But we still... But who we are as a people is hopefully is we do lend a helping hand. That's who we are, and we see the horrific circumstances that are these people are living in, and we got to do something about it. We can't put boots on the ground, but what can we do? This is something we can do. I don't know if you folks heard about the theater that had 300 women and children taking shelter.
Yes, I heard about that today. That was horrible. Oh, God.
And
yeah, go ahead,
300,
sorry.
In one bomb blast, 300 young women and children, and some elderly women as well, killed in one strike. 300 kids, girls in their 20s, girls in their 30s, babies, infant, newborns, 7-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 80-year-olds, women and children, 300 of them. And to say that they're not intentionally going after civilian targets would be an outright lie. Of course they are. Yeah. And something's going to be done about it.
Well, they hit that hospital. Was that last week? They hit the hospital.
Yep.
Like, really?
Yep.
You don't know what a hospital looks like?
Yep. Yeah.
Seriously, now.
It does make you wonder if all this is planned attacks, you know, as opposed to not planned.
Mm-hmm. And we had a caller on this show just a couple of weeks ago, I guess it's about a month ago now, who said... well, the Russians are just going after military targets. They're not going to go after civilians.
Yeah. Okay. Then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like we really believe that.
Yeah. Really.
You know. No.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely
gracious.
Not. When I heard that today, that 300 people in that theater, I'm like, really now?
Yeah. At the end of the day, they're gonna target. I mean, they say that they're targeting military, but they don't care what gets caught in the crossfire of it all. You know, they just say, well, unfortunately, there's going to be casualties in war, and it's horrific knowing that these buildings or specific places have been caught in the crossfire, if you want to call it that. I don't know. I mean, we can sit here and debate about that all day, whether it was on purpose or, you know, stirring a pot a little, triggering.
I did hear, we talked about this last show, that the Russian military, I mean, they're down to very archaic, you know, just kind of, you know, old-style mortar fire and bombs and missile and grenade launchers that don't have precise targeting. And they just launch these, lob these things, and whether they land, they land. Whether they blow up, they blow up.
Yeah.
It's no excuse for them to use it, but I understand that's part of the – you know, they went into this thing with no plan, no communications.
Yeah.
Five generals have gotten killed. Why? Because the generals had it, you know, field generals who would normally be, you know, behind the scenes calling the shots, drawing out maps, planning logistics and communication with the troops on the field and the commanders in the field. Five Russian commanding generals have been killed because they've had to go to front lines to communicate because there's no communication outside of things that can be tapped. They have no they have no secure communications between one band of Russian soldiers in one spot to another band 50 miles away or 10 miles away or 50 feet away, whatever it might be. There's no communications. So these folks are just winging it. They're in there, and these rogue generals, these rogue commanders are just in there, you know, hey, let's form a circle around this town. Let's say, hey, let's do this. And then they're being wiped out. Now the Ukrainians are starting to be aggressive and going after the Russians. They're actually chasing these guys down.
Yeah.
Instead of playing defense, they're being offense. Let's go get them. Let's go get these folks. Let's move them back. And they're succeeding. To a point. Yeah.
Yeah. The Ukrainian people, I give it to them. They are fighting, you know. Like you said, I don't think they really had a strategy, the Russians. They just Putin just threw them in there like to the wolves, you know, just like the heck with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because like you said, the Ukrainians are just civilians just volunteering, not even their army, are just, you know, just regular people coming in with and volunteering and taking up fighting. Mm-hmm. So if that's just civilians coming in off the street are beating their army, like what the heck? I mean, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not well. I don't think it's well planned out, Russia, how they went about this.
No.
I guess they thought it was going to be a cakewalk and the Ukrainians would lay down. But they're not going to lay down. You know.
I mean, surely Pyotr.
Well, I was going to reply to that.
I said Pyotr, Putin. Pyotr, I like that. Surely Pyotr had some sort of idea that everybody would be backing them, you know, because he's not a fool. Which makes me think this is kind of like a chess game to him. But, the media is reporting one thing, saying that have their plans failed. And we don't know. Is that part of his plan? To make it appear like it's failed? I don't know. And that's the thing with how deep this goes. And that's the thing about the media as well. I mean, we try our best, as you know, Lisa, and everyone else, that to try and pull out those little nuggets from the media and have our own discussion and, you know, opinions on what's going on. But we never really know how accurate the media's got their information or where they're getting their information from and their judgments and things like that. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it appears messy the way he's gone in with all this. But it also seems very smart. So I don't know. I don't know where I stand with it, to be fair. It just seems like some of it is strategic and other things aren't. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Do you know this is interesting too. The United States is going to work to gain a supply of 15 billion cubic meters of liquefied gas to the European Union this year to help wean off what would normally be coming from Russia, from Russian supplies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and we're doing, you know, this, I'll tell you, you know, there's some things I really like about this country, about who we are. A lot of things I don't like about it, but the pros greatly outweigh the cons about being in America.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder when I go to Europe and visit. I haven't been in a while, obviously, but when I go to London and Paris and Amsterdam and Madrid and different places over there, and I look at the history and the culture and the people and the little things don't mean much over there, what they do here. You know, I wonder, God, what would it be like to live here, you know, to go to Europe? And it just seems like looks like they have it so much more together than, I mean, every country has its problems, you know, obviously. But it just seems like, you know, in a general sense, they just have it so much more, you folks, Amanda, have it so much more together there than we do here in so many ways, you know?
I give me an example, sweetie, because I guess where I come from, the UK, it's hard for me to make that comparison myself because obviously I've not spent any time in the US and I only get fed all the things from media and people I know who actually live there. So for me to make the comparison, I guess, you know, it's not easy for me to do. But
For example, you know, you go to London or you go to Paris, for example, and you see, you go to a Paris street corner and you see...
It's like the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in. Yeah. You take your right foot out. That's you right. Put your right foot in. You shake it all about.
Of
you
course.
Do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. Boom. That's what that's all about.
Yeah. You don't see people doing the hokey pokey here.
Oh, really?
You used to.
No.
Not anymore.
That's a bit of a letdown.
Do you ever hear of? No, what I meant by that really was not in any, you know, specific. Well, I love the healthcare, of course. You know, we talked about that, and when you were over in the UK, where you're from.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know,
that's very great.
You pay for it, and I remember you talking about the tax bases over there. I'm like, holy crap! But you do get something for it. It's not like
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, you still pay into our healthcare. And more so now that the inflation rate has gone up in the UK quite a lot.
Yeah, here too, by the way, here too. And people are blaming Biden for that. And it's just not just. You have to look into the numbers and research. And, you know, things just don't get, you know, inflation doesn't happen just like overnight. Oh, inflation, you know, or Biden's been president for a year.
Yeah.
You know, things are so, oh, suddenly, boom, a new president, let's have inflation. Boom, new president, let's you know, destroy the real estate market. Boom, a new president. You know, there's a very, very, very slow-moving economic pendulum. It takes a long time for that thing to slowly swing back and forth and back. And what we try to do with each administration, hopefully, is minimize the depth of when that pendulum goes to its deepest point. So the gross population of America, the middle class, obviously, is not as affected when things do get bad. Like, what can we do to curb? You can't help a good economy and bad economy. It's going to happen back. And, of course, statistically, again, as we said earlier in the show, look at the numbers. I'm not making this up. We've always done better when there's a Democratic administration in the White House than Republicans. That's just a fact. I'm not just saying that.
Yeah.
But regardless, amen. I don't care who the I don't care who the administration, and that is a fact. And I don't care who the administration is. The economy is still forever going to swing back and forth. Good, bad. Right. So what we try to do as a population, as an administration, as a caring country, hopefully caring about one another, is try to minimize the depth of that pendulum when it hits its lowest point. How can we elevate that low so it doesn't affect so many people, so we don't shrink the middle class, which is a driving force behind the economic the pendulum of this country. It's driven by the middle class, and so you know the middle class gets hurt, we're in trouble, and that's what happens. The middle class shrinks.
Yeah.
And what's happened under many, many Republican administrations is that middle class, you know, we've got that 1% at the very top is great, and tax cuts it favor them. And the lower class gets bigger, the middle class gets squeezed in the middle. Squeeze. And that's the middle class is who we got to help here, you know. And even the tax increases being proposed by the Build a Better Plan, if you make $400,000 a year, if you make – anybody listen to the show make that? Does anybody – I know people who are, you know, but does anybody, I'm not. But if anybody who's listening to the show does not make $400,000 a year on your tax return, you don't put that in as what, after all your write-offs, I make $400,000 a year. If you don't make that number or more, you're not going to pay a dollar, a penny, a fraction of a penny more in tax. But if you make $400,000 or more, guess what? You're going to pay a little more, a pinch. Think you'll survive okay? But what that money is going to be used for is education, better school buildings, bridges, railroads, jobs, infrastructure, EV technology, get more electric cars on the road, electric car charging stations across the country. You know, things that we really, you know, think wind generators, solar power, things that we really need to start, you know, getting a grip of and moving this country ahead and putting us where we should be. We're no longer looked upon the leader in this world. We were at one time in technology. You go to the Pacific Rim countries right now, you know, oh my God, look what they're doing. Look at the bullet. Do you have a bullet train in the UK? Do you have a 300 mile an hour train? I think you do, or 260 or something like that.
Yes, it's called my mother.
Call your mother. I've been trying to get on the show for a long time. What does she collect? Tickets or something? Tickets?
Oh my God, that's a good one.
She's very... very fast at some things, bless her, but a little slow at others. God bless her. Yes, I think we've got something like that, yeah.
Because I know they do in France.
I often wondered that, Andy, why in this country we do not have high-speed trains? What is the deal with that? Why, in this country, we had one of the best rail systems back in the 1800s. What went awry in the 1900s and they started going away from trains? And why we don't have any bullet trains here? I mean, that's ridiculous.
because it's got to get funded by the people, and the people keep voting down the funding.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
I don't want it.
There's no other reason than that. Yeah. And what does that fund? Let's look at it for a second. Let's just look at that fund. You know, we could actually take this into several categories of infrastructure development. But let's just look at railroads for a point of illustration only for right now. If I took several billion, hundreds of millions, probably a billion, I don't know, gross, and we want to build the bullet train, or in the Pacific Rim they have what's called the magna lever. Imagine did you ever take two repelling magnets, you know, you can't put them together, they want to repel each other?
Yeah.
Okay. So they have what's called a magna lever. What that does, it's a railroad track. If you can imagine, instead of wheels going on a track, it's repelling magnets. So the wheels actually never touch the ground. Instead, they ride on a cushion of air created by magnetic energy fields, right? So imagine taking the friction away from a train wheel going over the track. Instead, that train's riding on a cushion of air. You're taking that friction away. That train is suddenly going to go at 300 miles an hour. It's called a magnet lever, right?
Wow.
That's, you know, you could beat an airplane in a headwind at that speed, right? So,
holy crap.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I mean, some airplanes. But anyway, I remember flying commuter airlines when I first started flying and twin-engine jet props, and I'd look down the expressway, and I'd see a Greyhound bus driver going underneath our wing passing us, and that guy was making more money than me.
Whoa.
Time to spare, go by air. But anyway.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
But anyway, let's just look at that infrastructure. Let's say it costs a billion. We in order to build a magnet lever or bullet train system or equivalent in this country that went coast to coast, north to south, and points between, right? Let's just say it's $1 billion. It might be more. I don't know. Just use that number for the hell of it. In order to build that railroad, in order to build and integrate the technology that's used in the making of those cars, and the science and technology, the navigation and the communications and the control of those trains, you know, the equivalent of an air traffic control system on the ground for trains, the stations, the tracks themselves. Do you know how many jobs that would create? Now let's look at this for a second. Okay, so the government funds the $1 billion rail, the infrastructure system for railroad. In the same process, we employ or have private contractors that bid on these government grants to do all this work. These private contractors employ thousands and thousands of people. Every employee in the United States has one thing in common. Do you know what that is?
No.
We all have, if you're an employee, you get a W-2 tax statement at the end of the year saying how much was withheld from your paycheck every pay period for the year, right?
Yeah.
Yes. How much money does that give the government in return? Because you've created 100,000 jobs or more. And now these are 100,000 good-paying jobs where people are paying, you know, harder, you know, tax dollars. And Social Security and health care withholding tax. So what does that do in return for the investment that the government makes in building a better life for us here in America? It's, you know, wow. You know, and this is not rocket science. This is not rocket science.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just talking about the railroads. Now let's expand that into airports. Let's expand that into bridges and highways and school buildings and electric car charging stations and so many other areas. We're talking about the creation of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of jobs. All these employees pay taxes. That goes back to the government. Bam. What a great return on the dollar that is. I can't think of a better investment. I cannot think of a better investment than our own country. Let's make life better for us. Let's get these people homes. Let's improve the railroad system. Let's improve airports. Let's do this thing, folks. Let's do it. Why are you arguing? Oh, it's gonna. Oh, we increase taxes. Who's gonna pay for all this shit? Well, look at the big picture. Look how it works. Trickle down does not work. You can't cut taxes for the highest portion, the highest richest companies, the most profitable companies, the richest people in America. Cut their taxes and think, oh, these people are suddenly going to start giving more money back to the population. We'll grow from the. It'll trickle down. No, they're not. They're going to buy yachts. They're going to register those yachts in the Cayman Islands. They're going to do things to get around paying more taxes, and the money will never trickle down. There's never been ever a model that has worked regarding trickle-down economics. It does not work. It's a failed model. What does work is investing money in the 80s
with Reaganomics. You know what that
was.
Yes.
That was exactly.
A perfect example of that.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what was the interest rate to buy a house in 1985? 19%.
Yeah, I remember
that.
I remember the, yep, and I remember the Pope is a 16% interest for 12 years on what was a, you know, expensive, you know, people who were financing boats and buying planes, and people did, right? But that is what they paid.
Yeah.
16% interest. My God. And that's, if you have, that's if you have good credit.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So the trickle-down model is a failed model. Now, there are folks that will disagree. There are folks that will look at numbers. They'll say, look at this. But look what happened not during the Reagan presidency, but what happened as a result of his presidency and a result of his economic theories and implementation of some of those theories. He didn't get everything he wanted, but what he did get. Was it like what you said, Lisa, was a failure? I mean, we all lived through it. We know. We were there. We lived through it. We know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this, I just can't think of a better economic policy than that does two things. We improve the quality of life and the efficiency of life for most Americans. We put more people to work, and the government gains income by those withholding tax going back into the Department of Treasury through those taxes of all those jobs we created. What the hell is the issue here? Oh, we can't fund that. What bullshit. Total bullshit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unreal.
Yes,
anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my administration.
For me, I love trains. I would rather take a train than a plane. If they had high-speed trains from here to California, I would take a high-speed train from here to
California.
But you got to get on Amtrak,
right?
And it takes you four days to get to California with Amtrak. Really?
Yeah, you go by way of Montana. Yeah, whatever. No,
yeah,
but
you gotta
it does.
Go like Chicago. You gotta go there, and you gotta go Montana, Nevada.
Then you
gotta
walk
2 blocks
to get a bus. Then you gotta walk 2 blocks to get a shuttle bus to take you to the next train station because the track's not working between station A and station B. So they take you on the bus, and you gotta go there. And they don't feed you nothing. You know. As a matter of fact, speaking of Amtrak, Amtrak's having a sale. I hope it's not over. It might be. The Amtrak Ameripass, folks, $3.99. Anywhere Amtrak goes, 10 legs. In other words, you can go across the country, get off 10 times, and get back on the train 10 times, make stops, go north, go south, go east, go west. Anywhere they go, $400, 10, you know, it's like a ticket. It's good for 10 rides, 10 actual sections of ride. So, and you can go from L.A. to New York on one ride, even if you connect trains, then that would be two rides out of your 10. There are some trains that stay on the same train, but they make a long stop. So you can do that, too. But for $300, I love the train. I took a private car train one time from Philadelphia to Chicago, and returned, and never arrived anywhere. And all the traveling I've done, and I used to be an airline pilot, right? All the traveling I've done, I've never felt so relaxed and comfortable on this train. And when you land in Chicago, you're relaxed. You had a good night's sleep. You had good meals. You meet people at the bar. They sit your family style at a table, and good food, really good food.
Yeah.
And take a train, folks. Take a train.
I love the train.
Right?
When I go home to New York, I take the Amtrak right here from High Point, North Carolina, into Penn Station. I love the train.
Yeah.
Amazing. If they had a better infrastructure here and made it, like you said, where it wouldn't take you six years to get out to California on a train, I could drive out there quicker. Seriously. From the East Coast to the West Coast.
They do faster by the stagecoach stage. Remember that? Hey, one quick thing I want to bring up. Because this is important. Simon Reed is a British figure skating announcer. Do you know who he is, Amanda? Simon Reed?
Not personally, but yes.
He was had a mic on during a commercial at the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And his hot mic, when he thought he was off, he called Olympic gold medalist, who now is a coach, Megan Dumyo, that bitch from Canada. And his broadcasting partner, I don't know if you know Nikki Slater, if you know these, because they're UK, I thought if you know him or not. Nikki Slater laughed at the remark, and they're both suspended from the BBC or their sports broadcasting network in the UK. Yeah, Simon
That's
Reed,
disgusting.
Nikki Slater suspended
from
their jobs as broadcasters of sports for referring to a woman, professional Olympic gold medalist, as a bitch from Canada.
Oh, that's
Watch
disgusting.
Your mouth. On this show, you can get away with it. No, no.
Well, you know what? Canada, my darling, on behalf of myself representing the UK, I apologize wholeheartedly because that is disgusting behavior. I wouldn't tolerate that at all. And they did the right thing, spending their asses. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, it's unreal. We got to roll. We're,
make sure
we're
your
out
mic
of time.
Make sure your mic's turned off.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me, I want to turn, I got mine. I got something to say here. Hold on a second. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you got
it. I cannot accept that course of action. I cannot accept that course of action. My computer is the best on earth. Does not compute. Does not compute.
Really, you are a fucking moron.
No, I, yeah, come on. Give me a break. It's Friday. Friday. We got to roll. Yeah. We're,
thank
we're
God.
we're going to leave you today on our Friday show with an amazing, beautiful song that Amanda's going to sing.
What?
You said you were going to sing a song, I thought.
When did I say
it? It was negative.
Amanda, I thought you were going to give us a round.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought Amanda, I was getting all excited here. I was looking forward to the end of the show just for Amanda singing New York, New York.
I don't know the lyrics. I don't know the lyrics. Oh,
somebody's going to sing that tune. I forget who it was. Was it
the Chinese?
I don't think so. Who's? Well, I guess, you know, anyway.
Oh, put it on. We'll give it a go.
We'll give it a go. Just start spreading the booze. Is it news or booze?
It should be booze.
Start.
That's your version, Andy. Booze.
I'm drinking today.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, I'm gonna whoop you.
I want to be slow.
That's good.
New York.
Good.
That's
good. 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 We're going to. If I could find it here, let's get this thing queued up. I thought I had it queued up. Anyway, because I know we're about out of time here, and if we don't get going, they're going to make us, they're going to kick us off so rudely they are here on this radio format here on the internet. I hope everybody is enjoying the Andy and Amanda Show. To join the show in the future, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 515-605-9888. That's how that works here. And also, we're going to talk more about the March Madness, what's going on in college basketball, you know, as we enter Sweet 16, or I think it is right now. I'm not going to talk about that right now because we got to go. But. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, you have a good night, and I'll talk
before
to you guys
soon. Before you go, I got one thing just for you, and I want you to sing along. This is just for you, Lisa.
Hey, Mr. Nickelback-a-bop-a-dee-bop. I like it the way that you bop-a-dee-bop. I like it the way that you bop-a-dee-bop.
I just sing New York, New York better than that. I won't even attempt that one. Oh, my God, that's funny.
God.
I love that clip. It's great.
Well, here's the Friday show. Anyway, so I guess take us home, Amanda. We're done. We'll see everybody Monday. This has been a great week, a fun week as always. We'll be back Monday again at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Everybody have a safe, safe weekend. And thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And I got a song out. Don't go away because Amanda's going to get us out of here. We're going to play a song by the Derek Trucks Band. So stay tuned for that.
Woo!
Amanda, take us home. Yeah.
Okay. So on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love here in Monterrey, Mexico, and thank you so much to our buddy Lisa for calling in from North Carolina. Thank you to you, more importantly, the listeners, for sticking by us and listening to our madness. Have a great weekend. We love you.
Take care, folks.
Band in love.
bad situation. I just reach back in my mind to find sweet, sweet.